Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey.
Today's podcast is a little different than my others. I'm telling the story of my journey into prison. Like everything else in my journey with the Lord, I never had a thought about doing this prior to God dropping it into my lap. I never aspired to be a writer, lead a ministry, or speak in prisons. But that's not to say I haven't always had a heart to teach and serve. I wrote and taught my first Bible lesson when I was 14. From that point on, there were few gaps in time when I wasn't leading groups or teaching scripture. And as so many things come to happen in this world, something was mentioned to someone, a connection was made, a conversation had, and suddenly a whole new world opened up. Here's how it happened. After I'd been teaching and leading Healing Journey classes for about 10 years, after we had filmed the class the first time and launched satellite classes across the nation, I got a call from a very dear friend, Verna. She had met this couple, Mel and Annie Goble, at church and was impressed that we should meet, so we did. Mel took a look at the Healing Journey materials and said, "We want you and we want your class. Would you consider joining our speaker's circuit and taking your class into the prison?" The request immediately resonated in my soul. Back in 2002, when I taught the Healing Journey the second time, I actually taught it at a transitional housing facility for single mothers and their children. Because Brian and I had been supporters of the ministry for some time, we were familiar with the tremendous service they offer. So I spoke with the director and got permission to come every Thursday evening and teach the materials to four precious women, all who had experienced the hardest of hard, single women with children who were trying to rebuild their lives from the ashes. We had a fabulous year together. In fact, one of those four women went on to become a leader in my ministry because it so changed her life. Following that experience, I encouraged people everywhere to seek out these opportunities to offer Healing Journey. I saw firsthand what a powerful catalyst for change it was. Because of that experience, transitioning into the prisons was a natural step. My mind was spinning. What would happen if we could bring our message of hope and healing to this most vulnerable population? How might those individual lives be changed for good? How might their worlds turn around? Well, the Lord gave me the green light, and I was excited to begin. So Annie planned a trip into an Illinois prison, and I began writing several hours' worth of materials to share with the ladies. Our event was scheduled for 4 hours with one group of women. After spending 6 weeks honing my material, just 48 hours before I was to fly out to Illinois, I got a call. "Oh, by the way, sign-ups have exceeded our capacity for the room. We're dividing them into two groups, so you will need to cut your material in half and teach it twice." "You're kidding," I thought. "It doesn't work that way. It's like being told to choose whether to tear off the front of a house or the back of a house." "Cut my material in half? So what am I supposed to do? Teach the first half or the second half? It just doesn't work that way. Don't they understand?" Well, I've learned in the 8 years I've been doing this that it isn't that they don't understand, it's that they don't care. Prisons are chaotic places as far as communication, administration, and organization. What you were told would be happening is often not true when you arrive. So the name of the game is be flexible and hold everything loosely. Well, we flew into Chicago, rented a car, and headed south about 3 hours to Dwight, Illinois. Keep in mind, these prisons are never in big cities. They are usually in very remote areas, requiring various modes of transportation and lots of expense to finally get there. About the time we pulled up to the prison, it began to dawn on me what I was about to do. I asked Annie, is this a minimum security or maximum security prison? Maximum, she said. My head began considering the crimes likely represented here. Probably didn't ask enough questions before I got myself into this. Annie warned me how many crazy things can go on when you go through security. She wasn't kidding. Here's a brief side story about a huge event I was recently scheduled to do in a Louisiana prison, along with a lady from Georgia who would be leading the worship music and assisting me with the event. Ashley's clearance papers had been lost, so we scrambled and resubmitted paperwork, but the prison system moves at a crawl. We prayed. We seriously prayed. Yet the day we flew out, the clearance still hadn't come through. There is one cardinal rule in the prison world. No clearance, no entry. I told my friend Ashley she would likely sit in the car all evening, barred from going in. But we left the matter in God's hands. And you're probably thinking that it came through at the last second. Nope, it never came through, which makes this story even more astonishing. They let my friend in without clearance. Unheard of. Thank you, God. I heard the story of God breaking Peter out of prison, but this was the first, breaking us into prison. Well, back to Illinois. By the time I finally cleared the machine in security, I had taken off my jacket, shoes, belt, necklace, and earrings. I was really glad nothing else needed to come off because the next step would have been embarrassing. I was still getting over a cold and was concerned about my cough and needing to blow my nose or get a drink. I had a cough drop with me. Could I take that in? No, I was told. You are not allowed to bring anything in except an unopened bottle of water. Note to self, bring water next time. Fortunately, an official person attending the event with us that day said he'd put it in his pocket for me. He wouldn't be checked so closely as I was. The officials said they would unlock a bathroom so I could get toilet paper if I needed to blow my nose. I prayed under my breath, Lord, get me through these next 4 hours. We waited for the heavy doors to open so we could proceed into the prison. I lost count of how many times we were buzzed through heavy doors. The first room we passed through was the cafeteria and visitation room. Since it was Saturday, there were many inmates sitting at tables with family, friends, and children, mostly women. My heart was immediately sad. There was no laughter or lively conversation. The room was strangely somber and quiet considering how many people were there. I noticed a lot of staring at the floor, children fidgeting. One table group was building a puzzle. As we crossed the compound toward the chapel, I kept thinking, maximum security, what's this going to be like? I was anxious and a little afraid. We arrived at the chapel. The building was round with paneling, surprisingly nice, but it seemed warm. Is there any way to control the temperature? Nope, no air conditioning. You could try opening the window. Right. The window was about a foot square. Probably wouldn't do a whole lot. I've learned prisons are not comfortable places. They do not fix things, nor is the comfort of the inmates a priority. The temperature is usually not right, either too hot or too cold. I've spoken to women huddled together wearing sweatshirts and coats, and others desperately fanning themselves, trying to cool off. This should be interesting, I thought to myself, since heat makes me faint. Better pray again. Lord, keep me upright. At security, they handed me a small styrofoam cup in case I needed to get a drink from the bathroom faucet. I decided to use it while I was waiting. Yum! Tastes like rust. At least there was a bathroom available. I've been in many prisons where there was no bathroom after I left the security area. We prepared the room, passing out the handouts. Then we waited. I began to get excited, so I went to the entry area of the chapel by the front door. I wonder what the ladies will be like. Will they say anything? Soon they began to file in. Immediately, I heard, "I'm really excited to hear what you have to say to us today. We've been praying for you all week. Bless you, sister, for coming here today." Wow, that's not what I expected. I was here to minister to them, yet they were ministering to me. I quickly realized many of these women knew Jesus. They loved Jesus. They wanted Jesus. And they were excited for the Word of God. These were my sisters in Christ. This is going to be fun. When the ladies were seated, the officers began barking orders. "Keep your mouth shut. I have no interest in hearing anything from you. Sit down and don't move. No one is allowed to stand up. Raise your hand if you need to get up. If you cause any trouble, I will remove you immediately." This particular officer seemed to be on a power trip, overly enjoying his authority over these women. He was demeaning and disrespectful. For the second time that day, my heart broke. How would these ladies ever discover their true value and how much God loved them in an environment like this? I was angry with the officer. Fortunately, I can honestly say I've never encountered one quite that bad at any other prison. Well, we started our program. Annie led the ladies in several worship songs. Even though they weren't allowed to stand, their voices rose to a great and joyful noise to the Lord. They loved singing to Jesus, especially this song called "Trading My Sorrows." "I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord." Note to self, be sure to sing that song a lot in prison. Clearly, some of these ladies were ready to trade their shame for the redemption of Jesus. I launched into my story, sharing with the ladies how God took the brokenness of my past and healed me, how I learned my true value and worth to Him, how He redeemed my life and turned it around for good. When I was done, many ladies came forward to thank me and share how God had encouraged their hearts through my story. I desperately wanted to hug the ladies, but it's strictly prohibited. Don't tell anyone, but I did hug a few anyway. I was hooked. What a tremendous privilege to be able to speak into the lives of these precious souls. Leaving, I realized I had no fear or anxiety. God Himself had created this holy moment in time and ushered us in with His very presence. Since that day, I've been all over the country, from Connecticut to Mississippi to New Mexico to California and many other states. There's no end to the opportunities. Besides the speaking, we also try to get my Bible study healing journey into the women's prisons. We've had one in the Colorado Women's Prison in Denver since 2011, and I get the great privilege of speaking at their graduation each spring. This year, a woman named Mickey came up to me after my message. She said she was getting out in a few weeks, and she already had plans to start a healing journey class where she was going. She had contacted her family and they had already pledged their support to help her. Mickey said the healing journey had changed her life and she knew God had called her to bring this to hurting women in her area. It brought me to tears. Just think, because of God's work through this ministry, a woman who previously traveled on Pride Pathway is now going to serve God on Trust Trail. I wonder how many lives will be changed because of Mickey. God is amazing how He uses us. At the beginning, Mel and Annie started their own ministry serving exclusively in women's prisons. But they recently merged with Prison Fellowship, which before this served in men's prisons. So Annie is doing the same thing as before, arranging inspirational events in women's prisons, but now within the Prison Fellowship ministry. Each year they schedule me for half a dozen or so events, make all the arrangements with the prisons, and set up the clearances and contacts. Then I go in and share my heart. My ministry pays for all the expenses, airfare, hotels, rental cars, and meals. These trips can cost as much as $2,000, depending on the location. So if God is touching your heart today with this story, perhaps you might prayerfully consider donating to His Healing Light Ministries to cover the costs associated with serving in the women's prisons. If so, go to our website, hishealinglight.org. I'd like to close with a note I received from a gal in prison. She said, "Healing journey taught me how to pray and to hear God's voice. It was a great help to me. I wish everyone could experience it. Now my eyes and ears are always open to God's voice and words. I love myself more, and I thank God for that." Isaiah 61:1 says in the NIV, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." Because of your help, God is binding up the brokenhearted and releasing prisoners from darkness. Please help us continue this work.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.